background, and obviously the weather will be a little bit better.
Yep.
I'm fired up for this one. Let's go. Bring on the Jets.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll break this game down ad nauseum here, what the Niners need to do to really move the ball against this New York Jets defense. Maybe there's some weaknesses. Maybe you could run right at them, but obviously the injury concerns here with Christian McCaffrey, who's questionable due to the calf/Achilles injury. The Achilles injury popped up late last week on the injury report, kind of shocked us all there. So we'll be monitoring Christian McCaffrey and where he's at. Obviously, you got to replace Drake Greenlaw. So it's going to be a lot of Devontae Campbell. D. Winters is also out, which is surprising to me. He's hurt. He's banged up. And Talanoa Hufanga is doubtful for today. So it's going to be Malik Mustafa. It's going to be, obviously, Tig Brown, Jair Brown. He's going to play a lot. And, of course, Joe Rizzotto, who had a big-time training camp. But we got to sit back and watch all the primetime games, you know, starting with Kansas City and Baltimore, which came down to a toe at the end of the game. Then Friday, you go to Brazil, and you get Philadelphia in Green Bay. I remember you said, you know, you were excited about the quarterbacks, and the quarterbacks were up and down in that game. I was excited about how the running backs were fair. And you know what? The Philadelphia Eagles made their CMC type of move. They had their Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley. And that was a reminder of how good Saquon Barkley is, and he's a difference maker. We look at primetime yesterday with the Detroit Lions and the L.A. Rams. Rams already dealing with injuries. Puka Nacua, who the hell knows how long he's going to be out. Cooper Kupp is still fascinating, but their offensive line is banged up, their receivers banged up, and you look on the other side with Detroit. If Jamison Williams could take that next step alongside Amarase Brown, Sam LaPorta, that great duo at running backs, all of a sudden you got something there with Detroit. So now it's the Niners' turn to show that, hey, we're still the class of the NFC. The NFC still runs through the Bay Area, and they have a great, great, great chance to do that tonight. Let the bygones be bygones. All the noise that we dealt with over July and August and all season, it's go time, folks. It's time for Brock Purdy to really catapult himself to another category here and build off what he did last year, which is truly historic for the 49ers.
Seeing you kind of like rat-a-tat-tat some of the teams that we think are, you know, the foes of the 49ers, it's a long season. Things change dramatically. Yeah. Injuries are obviously a huge part of it, and where a team's at and what their flaws are today may not be what their flaws are, you know, week 12, week 17, or whatever. That being said, it does feel like Cowboys, Eagles. I'm going to still put the Packers in the mix. Obviously, they need to get their quarterback back. I'll put them a little, like a slight tier below. And then obviously the Detroit Lions and the LA Rams. But the Rams are an interesting case study because I think they'll be better come year end. They have a lot of young players on defense. But is Stafford going to be able to make it that far?
Yeah.
I mean, he got hit a lot in that game. He was under duress the entire way. And then I guess the other question with the Rams, seeing that they couldn't stop the run at the end of that game, and I've thrown this at you, and this is something I think we should just monitor it. Are we sure Aaron Donald's not going to come out of retirement and come join that team November and December? Because it sure looked like in overtime they missed a Hall of Fame defensive tackle to just stick in the middle of that defense.
They got a little gash there in overtime, obviously, and they showed the video. Was it during the game or after the game? I don't recall. But they showed Aaron Donald's wife posting Aaron Donald watching the game, and he was knocked out asleep. He was asleep during the game. And Chris Collinsworth was like, well, I do that to the best of them. I'll put everybody to sleep. So that was Chris Collinsworth right there, who seemingly didn't know the overtime rules. He's talking about positioning the ball for the field goal. Mike Tirico's trying to give him the hit, like, hey, a touchdown wins the game. Touchdown wins the game. So Chris Collinsworth was, you know, Chris Collinsworth yesterday. But you know what? They're going to be both.
Oh,
A team, you admit it. We're going on our training camp tour. Baldy, who's the most impressive team in training camp so far? He mentioned the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We need to monitor them because I think people forget about Tampa Bay. They were a drive away from possibly going to the NFC Championship game last season. When they played the 49ers in Levi's Stadium, that game was a lot closer than what people remember. It was 13-7 midway through the third quarter, all right? Fourth quarter, they had a drive. They didn't score late after, what was it, an interception or whatnot, but 27-14 win for the 49ers. It wasn't the prettiest win. Tampa Bay's got better. That's another team we need to, because they're going to have a cakewalk in the South. I'm sorry. New Orleans, are they really that good? We'll see.
No, Carolina's really that bad.
Atlanta, Kirk Cousins.
I mean, they're already calling for Michael Penix.
Already.
I'm telling you, Raiders, second round pick, just go get yourself Kirk Cousins.
Oh, my God, the Raiders. Why was Antonio Pierce punting the ball?
I'm out on Antonio Pierce.
Most cowardly move in the history of the NFL, punting that one.
All right. Let's
the
calm down.
The most cowardly.
Let's calm down, Spadoles.
You're right, though. Baker.
But Baker never play. Hey, they're building some down there.
The more I watch him play, the more I realize that confidence is such a big factor in sports. Yep. This is a guy that he did take Cleveland to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He did knock off the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know we've forgotten that, but he had moments. He set, at the time, the rookie quarterback record for most touchdowns in the season. So I think that he's a guy that we've kind of slept on, and he's obviously ascending, and they've got great weaponry. Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. It feels like that running back's underrated.
How about McMillan scored a touchdown in his debut for Washington?
I liked all those Washington wide receivers. I thought all of them were going to be nice. The team that I did say, and I just – we got to pump the brakes. Like, Caleb's a rookie, and that team doesn't have a coach that can go over. Like, when I look at, like, Sean Payton and Bo Nix, and clearly he had a bad day yesterday, I know Sean Payton can dial up 3 or 4 or 5 plays to get Bo Nix, like, somewhat going a little.
Right.
Eberflus, he could be a great defensive mind. It's really difficult when you can't have dramatic effect on your young quarterback to be able to just dial up a couple plays to calm him down and get things going. Now, that's what makes the Texans situation so unique, is I'm bad rat-a-tat-tatting around. Bobby Slowick is the OC.
Yep.
And you've got D'Amico Ryans, who's a DC, and what they're doing with their young quarterback as they stayed dedicated to the run yesterday in Indianapolis. I don't know. There's just a lot of really good teams, and then there's a lot of crap.
Right.
There's a lot of crap, and I'm sitting here saying, as long as the Niners just remain functional like they've been over the last few years, they've got double-digit wins written all over them.
You know, the Houston Texans, I know a lot of people didn't know if last year was real and whether or not they are going to have a drop-off, because there's a lot of hype there. I think the Texans are a team, they could be in New Orleans in February. That team could be playing for a Super Bowl. C.J. Stroud I had that game on the quad box the entire time. He just makes play after play after play after play after play, throw after throw after throw after throw. Nico Collins and C.J. Stroud have some dynamic rapport. It's just unbelievable, right? And then you add in Stephon Diggs. I know a lot of people were a little weary about Diggs and his attitude or whatnot. But he's a perfect player in that system. He can play in the slot. He can do all the underneath stuff. He moves the chains. And he brings big game experience. Playing all those big games in Buffalo and playing all those big games in Minnesota when he was a Viking, I think matters for that Houston Texans team. And then you add in Joe Mixon, who you mentioned the run game. Joe Mixon hadn't looked that spry in years. He looked phenomenal. And he played in a lot of big games for Cincinnati. And we all forget that in that divisional round game against Baltimore, that was a tie ball game. That was a tight football game between the Texans and the Ravens. So them taking that next step, getting that experience last year, and then, oh, by the way, you add Danielle Hunter on defense alongside Will Anderson Jr. I really like the Houston Texans, man, this year coming. I think they're going to be a threat in the AFC to come out of there and represent them.
The only area where I have to see it. I would put Detroit in the same kind of bucket, Philly in the same bucket. Do you have the linebackers and the secondary to be able to withstand the whole 17-game season and all of these elite teams that have elite weapons on the offensive side of the ball, especially like when I look at like the Texans, like you're going to get spread out by Kansas City.
No
you're
going
to get spread out. I mean, I know that they ran the ball yesterday, but you're going to get spread out also by Josh Allen. I mean, I don't know. You want to talk about early MVP odds? I think he's going to have to carry that situation in Buffalo. He's a guy that I think I'd sprinkle a little money on winning the MVP. But your point is well taken. That they're a team on the rise, no doubt about it. I just look at the NFC and I say, like, there's about 5 teams that the Niners are competing with, and then there's a lot of dreck and a lot of teams that just aren't yet near where they need to be. And then teams that are kind of figuring themselves out, like Chicago's figuring itself out. The Vikings are going to obviously be a work in progress this year. They're figuring themselves out. New York Giants, just cross them off. They're done. Commanders, Jaden Daniels is a work in progress. I'm going to cross them off. I'm cool off them. And Atlanta, I'm ready to cross them off already. They just got it's just odd.
Pittsburgh's a tough defense, though, so I'm going to give Atlanta a couple weeks. I don't like what I saw.
Ugh.
I don't like what I saw with the Atlanta Falcons at all. I don't know what they were trying to accomplish. Were you trying to run the ball? Were you trying to pass the ball? Kirk Cousins just seemed like a sitting duck in that pocket. Everything's underneath. I don't know about the Falcons. I don't know about the coach. I don't know about the system. I really like Tampa Bay in that division, and New Orleans may have something to say. We'll see about New Orleans, because they dominated that game from start to finish, even though I know people were down on Derek Carr. They dominated from start to finish. So in the NFC, look, Seattle handled their business at home. That's a tough win for them against Denver. The Rams, they'll be around, but if the Niners take care of their business now, they got to take care of business tonight against the Jets team. And how are they going to do it, Shask? Are they going to run the ball or are they going to pass the ball? Well, last year, the Jets defense, they were second in pass defense. They gave up 168 yards per game in the air and allowed the third lowest passer rating. So they get after it. They get after it in the pass game. They got guys who could rush the passer. They got guys who could collapse a pocket. And they got guys who could be on an island by themselves in Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed that could really shut your passing game down. So that chess match between the Niners passing game and that Jets pass defense is going to be very intriguing tonight at Levi's.
CMC is the big question mark. You know, what does he look like? How available is he? Is he available? You know, like what does the juice look like coming out in terms of his like stop and go? Because he's phenomenal at the kind of like everyone pitch to the side, the line, the left tackle and the left guard are kind of pulling, and he stutters his feet, stops and goes, and cuts up field. Like that's a big part of his game, and so I want to see where he's at. I want to see where his athleticism is, having not played in a while and having the injury. And is this a Jordan Mason game if CMC is limited? Where's Brandon Ayuk in terms of rep count? It sounds like they're not going to use him for the full game.
Well, he's going to play a lot. I know last year he played 82% of the snaps, Brandon Ayuk, 82% of the snaps he played. I think he won't get a full game workload, but he's going to play. I know Trent Williams is going to play every single snap, that's for sure, at left tackle. But Brandon Ayuk's going to be in there a lot, especially during passing downs. Don't think the full allotment of plays. That, you know, again, he played 82% last year, so hopefully he's right. He was running routes on the side. But your point about McCaffrey, how does it change the offense? How does it change the offense? I think it changes in this sense real quick, Shasky, on third downs. We always talk about pass blocking. McCaffrey's a great pass blocker on third downs, protecting the quarterback. I think if McCaffrey doesn't play, he may have to dial up Kyle Juszczyk for those situations and allow him to be in the backfield to block, because I think he's a much better pass blocker, especially if the Jets are blitzing, if they try to blitz, or if they're rushing guys and they're getting through. Juszczyk's a better blocker right now than Jordan Mason in the pass game.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you know they're going to keep in George Kittle to chip at times, and that's kind of something they do no matter what. This is a big one for Brock Purdy. Not that he's going to be making made or broken or anything like that. Just think about it as a Niner fan. Last night, were you not watching Stafford and Goff thinking about what's going to happen in the playoffs? I think a lot of fans were. Like, all right, this is a little teaser. It doesn't mean either of these teams is winning it all or losing and not gonna be there at the end. It's just like these are what the matchups we look for. Friday night, Jordan Love versus Jalen Hurts. I was leaning forward, watching both young quarterbacks. Like, all right, what do these guys look like? What does Jordan Love look like in his second full season? You know, what does Jalen Hurts look like with Kellen Moore? So I think if there's no CMC, I think the spotlight goes right to Brock Purdy. People are like, now let's see what you look like without CMC. Fair or not, I just think that's the national perspective.
I think Brock Purdy's going to have a spotlight regardless of whether or not CMC plays or whether he doesn't, because that just pass defense does present problems for any passing game out there in the NFL. So I think the spotlight, whether, you know, it gets heightened, no doubt. If CMC doesn't play, it gets heightened on Brock Purdy. Okay, now can you carry him? Can you still run the ball 30 times without CMC? Can you still do all your stretch stuff? Can you run your screen game? Who's gonna run routes at the backfield? Because that's another dynamic where if you get Christian McCaffrey matched up on the linebacker, you take that linebacker away in the play. Will that linebacker respect Jordan Mason in the backfield, coming out the backfield? Will they respect Kyle Juszczyk coming out the backfield, catching passes or whatnot? How does that change the passing dynamic underneath? It's a huge drop-off. So the whole check down Charlie stuff, you may not be able to get to it without Christian McCaffrey.
Doesn't this have, like, Deebo Samuel written all over it tonight's game? If there's no CMC.
Well, it just feels like it's going to be a physical game.
Yeah.
And physical football games, we tend to lean towards Deebo Samuel, George Kittle.
Yeah.
They're the physical guys. They're the tone setters. They're the guys where say, you want to play physical? You want to hit? Well, how about this? Let me lower my shoulder into you. What is that hit going to be like when Deebo, because I've seen Sauce Gardner in person. Sauce Gardner's a great cover corner.
Where'd you see him?
Las Vegas. Against the Raiders last year, Sunday Night Football.
Oh, I thought you met him in person.
Oh, no.
I was
no,
sized him up. He's bigger than you think. That's where I thought you were going. He was at Wimbledon.
No, I sized him up in Las Vegas going against Devontae Adams. And let me tell you, my man does not like to tackle.
Oh.
So
you were scouting.
I'm just saying, corners, you know, he does not like to tackle. So when Debo's running at him, or Kittle's running at him, or even Brandon Ayuk for that matter, will he like to tackle? Will he break down a tackle? All right, 888-957-9570, your keys to the game, Monday Night Football.